Good day, and welcome to the MHG Quarterly Report Q2 2018 International Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alf-Helge Aarskog. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and welcome to the presentation of the Q2 results for 2018 for Marine Harvest. I will go through the report and open up for question after we've gone through the presentation. Highlights for this quarter was operational EBIT of 175 million euros in the quarter. What we see that is positive in terms of the market development is very strong demand in most markets and value growth in terms of sale of salmon almost in all markets where we operate. The result in Norway and Chile was very good, the best second quarter we've ever had, and that is for both units on improved costs, obviously also on high prices, and this compare year-over-year, so to Q2 2017. In terms of financing, we issued a euro bond at 200 million euros with the tenure of 2.15 or coupon of  2.15%. We see this as a good and cheap financing for the company. In this quarter, we also had to reduce our volume guidance with 28,000 ton. I will come back to the details of that when I go through the different units and the reasoning behind it. This is excluding Northern Harvest. The dividend for the quarter, the board decided to pay out 2.6 NOK per share, and this will be paid out in Q3 2018. If we then go into key financials, we see on the top line side about the same revenue as Q2 2017 at 888 million euros. Operational EBIT we've been through, but it's down from 197.9 to 175.2 in this quarter. And harvest volume is about the same, around 78,000 ton for both quarters. If we then go to the price development in the quarter, we have the slight price increase in Europe, or about stable prices in Europe. Come back to the details on a later slide. Slight increase in Chile and 13%, close to 14% increase in North American prices for salmon compared to the same quarter in 17. Then go to price achievement. That's a function of the contract share. We have the spot price and the quality of the fish. In Norway, we achieved 91% of the reference price or the spot price on the back of 48% contracts. So contracts took the price achievement down somewhat because of then higher spot prices. And the superior share was slightly below what we expect. We would like to stay above 90% in quality of the fish. Scotland, 104%. Price achievement compared to 97% in 2017 in the second quarter. High contract share here, 69%, and high superior share at 95%. Canadian salmon is basically in the spot market. We achieved slightly lower than the reference price here because of lower quality than expected. In terms of Chile, there we have a 91% price achievement compared to 97% in 2017 Q2. This on the back of 29% contracts and 86% superior share. So below our expectation on in superior share. We then go into the development of operational EBIT for the company. It was close to 198 million euros in Q2 17. We see that feed is about the same as Q2 last year. Farming is reduced with 12.9. Mostly the reason for that is Scotland and Canada performing at a lower level than what they did in Q2 17. It's also driven somewhat by volume reduction in harvest in Scotland for this quarter in 2018. Markets approximately the same, and consumer products slightly down. This has to do with what you see as the Easter effect of salmon and the demand before Easter. Easter was in Q1 this year compared to last year when it was in Q2. Also, explanation here is very volatile spot prices on some of our raw material going into consumer products is spot-based, and then you run the risk of not making as much money on this when these prices are changing. That takes us to this year's result, 175.2. Then over to Norway. As already stated, a good quarter for the Norwegian operation, 126.7 million euros as a result compared to 98.4 million euros. Harvest volume was up, closing in on 50,000 tons compared to 39,000 tons last year. But we see also per kilo we made more money, and this is on the back of volume, obviously, but reduced feed costs on fish harvested and also a scale effect in terms of a higher volume in this quarter. And then we have on the negative end, that is the development towards the end of Q2 and a little bit into Q3 and in July and August, where we see especially Region South being hampered with some diseases. And this can be or is most likely a ripple effect of treatment of sea lice that makes the fish weaker, and then you have to harvest out earlier, and that gives you lower harvest weight. And we see going forward that we have to reduce our harvest weight for the Norwegian operation. In total, with 14,500 tons, 80% of this is in Region South, in the southern part of Norway. We still, because of Region North and Region Mid, expect costs to continue to decrease also in the third quarter compared to what we saw in Q2 of 2018. We then look at the contract portfolio. We see the contract portfolio is slightly above what it was, the same contracts going forward in or same quarters in Q3, a little bit above 25,000 tons in Q3, and a little bit about or around 27,000 tons in Q4 2018. But rather stable and on good prices or corresponding prices to what we got in Q2 of 2018. Then if you look into the Norwegian operation, these are rather big units producing more than 50,000 tons each. And we see Region South here in terms of operational EBIT per kilo lag quite a bit behind the other regions. I would say Region North is really performing very well. Region Mid in the middle of Norway, and we see the southern part of Region Mid not as good as the northern part of Region Mid this time around. And then we see Region South being about one-third of the result in Region North. And this is linked back to what I spoke about in terms of biological issues in Region South. All in all, the result is slightly better than what it was last year. Then if we go into the Scottish operation, what's kind of standing out here is the reduced volume in this quarter, down to 9,000 tons from close to 19 in Q2 2017. And on the back of this, a reduction in result, both specifically per kilo, from 3.10 to 2.38, but also in absolute money from 57.5 to 21.3. I think the result is good, but it's driven by higher prices. The cost is up because of lower volumes, and you can see also all the salt water and also the fixed cost linked to that also being up. We do not think there will be huge improvement in the third quarter in Scotland in terms of cost, but we see room for growth here in 2019. Had to reduce the harvest volume here to 5,000 tons in the second half, and this is on the back of a little bit low smolt stocking in 16-17, and then biological issues in this region. Canada also had a challenging quarter, somewhat reduced volume from 9,300 tons to 8,000 tons, but more so reduced operational EBIT, even though we had good price achievement or good prices in this region for the quarter. We have struggled with jellyfish, some low O2, some gill issues on the fish in this region, and we do not see any improvement in Q3 for Canada directly. Then we have invested on the other side, from not in BC but in East Canada or New Brunswick and Newfoundland to be specific, and we estimate this unit to harvest 8,000 tons for the second half, about 18,000 tons for the year, 18.5, and that will give us another region to raise salmon in, which we think has great potential combined with the assets we had there from before, and that was Gray Aquaculture, which we bought a couple of years ago. Chile, on the other side, had a very good second quarter, and actually their best in the history of marine harvest. This on high prices and also on reduced cost. We think and we know, because the sites we're going to harvest from in Q3 will have slightly higher cost than what we did in Q2. But we still think that the third quarter will be okay for Chile. Recent consolidation where AgroSuper was about to buy Aqua Chile, I think is positive for the long-term development of the industry in Chile. We had one negative incident in Chile in July. We had a rather large escape. This happened because of strong winds and waves on one site where the structure of the cages failed. We were working to find what really happened there. We know that the moorings held up, so it's the structure of the cages, and the cages were not old. They were put in place in 2017 and should withstand the weather that we faced there. But this is investigation ongoing to find the final solution and hopefully see that this never happens again. There were 900,000 fish at site when the storm happened. We were able to rescue 250,000 fish and move them to another site. And we have fished about 45,000 fish with the gill nets after the escape, but there are still approximately 600,000 fish missing. And some of them we will catch, but absolutely not all of them. Island, Faroe Islands, strong market conditions, rather low volumes in both these smaller units, but okay result, I would say, and a really positive market for organic salmon, which we produce in Ireland. We then go on to consumer products. Consumer products had good volumes and good growth in revenue, but the earnings was down from 19.2 million euros to 13.1. This is on the back of the raw material prices described before, but also the Easter effect, as I also mentioned earlier in conversation. I think is really good is the strong consumption of salmon in this segment, and we see that basically in all markets where we are in. We had one incident in France, we had a smokehouse in France called Kritzen that burned down in July. It is fully insured, both in terms of the buildings and but also continuity insurance for this. So we expect limited cash effect for this incident. We have been able to route some of the production into our Scottish unit, into our unit in Holland, and some into Poland. And now we're evaluating our structure in France and where and how we will rebuild this market again. Feed. Feed is in a high competition area in Norway as we speak. We had good production in the quarter and seasonally record high. Higher feed prices year over year, but offset of raw material prices being up on the raw material we used in this quarter. There are pressures in the margin in the market on margins this result is also slightly hampered by the construction of the new feed plant in Scotland and some of the expenses is booked directly into the feed operation as we speak or in this quarter. We then go on to take a look at financials a little bit around the markets and harvest volumes going forward. We have been through the numbers on in profit and loss, at least the big numbers. And I think I just move on to the financial position. You see that total asset is up by 200 million, approximately 200 million euros. Still, the adjusted equity ratio now is 49.7%, down from 58.1% in the same quarter or the same time last year, but and down from 51.7% year end. In terms of cash flow and interest-bearing debt, the net interest-bearing debt in the period was 856 million, or started the period with 856 million euros. Basically, we are growing the business in terms of volume, and there are some inventory delays in value added, but changing working capital was 43 million euros. CapEx about in line with the same period last year and in line with budget. And all in all, we ended the net interest-bearing debt at 950 million euros towards the end of the quarter. We also bought 5.7 licenses in this quarter in Norway, and that's also accounted for in this statement. In terms of cash flow guidance, working capital build-up of 120 million euros support further organic growth. I think we'll see we have more biomass in sea, and I think we'll see this materialize in 2019. CapEx, I think the number is about the same as it was in last quarter. What we are focusing on in CapEx is continued freshwater expansion and growing the smolt slightly bigger to avoid and to reduce biological impact in sea. So we have one freshwater facility being built now in northern Norway, one in region mid, and we have completed one in Scotland in Inchmore. We also do seawater expansion projects both in Scotland, into new sites in Canada and in Chile. And then we have the major investment in Scotland, in the feed plant, in with 60 million in this overview. Consumer products, we are moving out of a plant in Miami, moving into a bigger plant, and also we are rebuilding and opening up a second facility and a doubling capacity at Duck Trap, and Duck Trap is a smokehouse in Maine. And this is on the back of higher demand for our products, and we are basically grown out of our facilities. Northern Harvest, 215 million euros, farming capacity mentioned, and interest paid was 40 million euros, and taxes paid in the quarter was 140 million euros, then the dividend we have been through before. Financing, I think the only new thing here is that the euro 200 million bond issued in June 2018, the remaining is the same as it was before. If you then go into supply development, The supply in the quarter was up globally 5.2% compared to the same quarter in 2017. Norway was up 8, then Scotland, Faroe Islands, and Ireland were down, and Chile, maybe where we missed a little bit on the guidance, were up 19%. That was more than we expected. All in all, 5.2% growth on the back of stable or increasing prices is telling us that the demand in the marketplace is good. Look at prices. Norwegian salmon priced in euros was slightly down 0.8% in NOK because of exchange rate, up 1.1%. Chilean salmon up slightly between 2.5% in US dollar, or in 2.5%. And then North American salmon up 12 to 14% in the currency it's sold in the U.S. So stable or increasing price development in the quarter on the back of higher volumes. We then look at where this salmon ended up in the marketplace. We see Europe is growing with 6.9%, or EU is growing 6.9%. Russia is up 50% in the quarter, and 26% on a rolling 12 months compared to the past 12 months. So it seems like Russia gradually is coming back. This is fish from Chile and fish from the Faroe Islands. And then you have other Europe also being up. And in total, Europe is up 9.1%, so a really strong development in the European market. Same goes for U.S., up 14.3% this quarter compared to the same quarter last year on good prices. Brazil is up, and all in all, total America's some slight reduction here in other countries in Middle America, but in South or Latin America, but still very good numbers, close to 10% increase in volume in the Americas. Then China opened up for Norwegian salmon and has continued to open up for more regions in Norway, and this has led to increased export to China and Hong Kong with 48% in the quarter. Japan is one of the few markets that's down, and other Asia is clear that some salmon that went into China before went through Vietnam. I think that has stopped with the opening up of China as a buyer of Norwegian salmon. But strong development also here. So total increase of 8.1% in the quarter into the different markets. If you look at the supply outlook for 2018, I think we will see somewhat more harvesting now in the few months to come, especially in Norway and to a certain extent in Chile. Kontali, which these numbers are derived from, expects about 5 to 7% increase in 2018. But Kontali has revised down its 2019 estimate, and we agree with that. And on a global scale, down to 4%, 5% growth in Europe, and 2% in Americas. That is because we believe that more fish will be taken out on lower weights in 2018 and does not reach the market in 2019. Our guidance, just to be specific on that, we took down the volume from 400,000 tons to 380, including 8,000 tons from Northern Harvest. Norway, already been through, but 14,500 tons down, Scotland 5,000 tons down, Canada reduced by 6,500 tons, and then Chile down 2,500 tons. That has to do with the escape incident and the fish lost there. And then Ireland is slightly down, and Faroe Island is increased by 1,500 tons for the remaining of the year. If you then look at the outlook going forward here, it's clear that the demand for salmon is strong in most markets, I would say. Fish meal price going forward is at €6.4 for the next 12 months. Growth in China, supported by the removal of export restriction from Norway, is clearly helping. Supply outlook, again, is favorable for 2019. For us, the acquisition of Northern Harvest, combined with the Gray assets that we, or the Gray aquaculture company that we bought earlier, give us a new dimension on the east coast of Canada. And dividend, I mentioned, but I will repeat it. It's 2.6 NOK per share, and we paid out as ordinary dividend during Q3. A little bit marketing at the end. Marine Harvest will have a capital market day, 13th of November in Edinburgh, Scotland, and I hope to see many of you there. With that, I will turn this over to the conference host and open up for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to, please use your speakerphone to unmute your phone. We'll pause for a moment to let everyone an opportunity to signal. Again, that is star 1 for questions. And we'll take our first question from Gaurav Nigam from Catamaran.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. So my question is on the Chile operations of Marine Harvest. As I understand from the press release and major comments that the problem was there with the cages that we had installed in 2017. I want to specifically understand, is it because of the quality of the cages or the nets that we are using? And if that is the case, what are we doing about it so that it doesn't happen in future? Thank you.
Yes, this was about the escape incident in Chile, what happened and what are we doing about it. Try to describe it. This was a site called Punta Redonda. It's south of Puerto Montt. The site experienced relatively strong wind in Chile, you are not allowed to go out to the site when the storm is ongoing because of that is Navy regulations. But what happened was that the mooring system, what holds the cages in place, held up. We use the same system as in Norway there. What broke was the cages itself. The cages itself were new. They were put in place 2017, so not even a year old. They should, according to specification, hold up, but they broke in the connection or where these steel cages are connected to each other. When this happens, the mooring system holds up. They will have the opportunity to break the net. What we are doing, we have reviewed, obviously, specification from the vendor or from the supplier here, and certainly we have already enforced all our other cages from this supplier with chains in all corners and all lengths. But so far our finding is that the cages in this case should have held this weather. And this episode should not have happened. But there are still investigations ongoing. But question again, what are you doing about it? Immediately we reinforced all similar types of cages with chains in all junctions to make sure that they are not falling apart. All the nets here were in jeopardy, not because they were old, they were new nets, but when the steel structure breaks, they will towards the end break the nets. That is not possible to avoid as in this case, unfortunately. So we have done a lot short term to secure that it doesn't happen again, and we have also started to invest or have a third party engineers in place to make sure that to find out what was wrong with this structure, because it, to be honest with you, should have taken this weather.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. And we'll take our next question from Sam Glover with Tideway Investment Partners.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. Three FMA. So firstly, just looking at the supply or lack of supply growth this year, I note that at the start of the year, 2018, I believe you're guiding for around 410,000 tons, so that was sort of low double-digit supply growth, so growing significantly ahead of the industry. Unfortunately, it looks like you're going to now be below the industry growth. Why is this happening, and what are you doing to turn that around into 2019? That's the first question. Second question, can you update us, please, on the outstanding convertible and what the situation is there going into H2? And finally, just to clarify on the Chile situation, the escape, I noticed that you've flagged a 35 million hit to EBIT in your report. Can you just clarify, is that the total cost you're anticipating, or can we expect an additional provision for regulatory fines, etc., on top of that? Thank you.
Yes. In terms of supply growth, you're correct. It was around 410 when we started the year. Excluding Northern Harvest, we are now at 372. And the why is this happening? It's specifically the reason is in one. Or not all of it, but a major reason is one region in Norway, which has its issues biologically. And I think we've seen other companies guide down as well in this region today. We have also reduced our volume in Canada and in Scotland. I think Scotland is on the right track for 19. What we are doing there is new sites, even more focus on sea lice issues. In terms of Canada, there's no quick fix. The reason for the reduction in Canada is a combination of, and this is on the west coast of Canada, a combination of low oxygen in the water and gill health, which the gills are what takes up oxygen from the water, and in combination with the jellyfish in the area that has hurt the gill of the fish, make us harvest them out earlier and thus lower volume going forward. And there's no quick fix in Canada. That's more nature that happens from time to time on the West Coast. But again, that can come back and be better in 19. In terms of the outstanding convertible bond, it's currently deep in the money. The first potential to convert this into equity is in November, but the board has not decided what to do when that time comes around. And then the escape, I think if you refer to 35 million NOK, that is correct, but it's 3.5 million euros, just to be specific on the number. I think, and that is losses due to the, obviously the fish are not there to be harvested and lost income. In terms of fines from the government or potential fines, that is not in that amount, and we have yet to see any numbers from the government, whether they're going to fine us or not. The issue in Chile is that there is no standard. We are using Norwegian standard for the moorings and that part of the equipment, but there is no ISO standard, or in Norway we have something called 9415, NS94, or Norwegian standard 9415 for all components. The government does not have that in place in Chile. No matter what, we will look at all angles here, and also the supplier of these cages have a responsibility. So, but the any fines are not in this number, or any potential fine is correct to say. Does it answer your questions?
Very clear, thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. It appears there are no further questions at this time. Mr. Oskog, I'd like to turn the conference back to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, then I will thank you all for attending the conference, and we will be back with Q3 in October of 2018. Thanks a lot.
That concludes today's presentation. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.